Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, and Joseph Guido. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Starting off, Kingston's Clayton Ross recognized as one of Canada's favorite crossing guards. Kingston's own Clayton Ross has been honored as one of Canada's favorite crossing guards in the 2024 contest organized by Parachute, Canada's national charity dedicated to injury prevention. Parachute's annual Canada's Favorite Crossing Guard contest, supported by Desjardins Insurance, celebrates crossing guards who go above and beyond in ensuring children's safety. Each year, three crossing guards in Canada are recognized for their significant contributions to their communities. Each winning crossing guard receives $500, as does each of their schools. Serving both St. Paul Catholic School and Lord Strathcona Public School, Ross's dedication to student safety and his community spirit have earned him this national recognition. In a heartfelt response to the announcement, Ross expressed his surprise and gratitude, stating, quote, "I care greatly about what I do, and recognition is far, far down on the list of reasons to do this work, nice though it is to receive," end quote. Ross's path to becoming a crossing guard was unconventional but deeply meaningful. He took the role initially as a temporary job following the closure of a comedy club he worked at during the COVID-19 pandemic. Over time, he discovered that the role was a perfect fit for him, helping him align with his mental health goals, including maintaining routines and engaging with his community. Ross shared, quote, "It became something I never really thought I'd have before, which is a calling. It's the most perfect job for me right now that I could have asked for." Ross's commitment to his work extends beyond ensuring student safety. He's become an integral part of the community, building relationships with families and fostering a sense of connection. "Becoming a part of your community is the nicest part of this job," said Ross. "Day by day, you build up relationships with people. You see all the comings and goings, and it feels very nice to be welcomed in." A memorable moment for Ross involved connecting with a young Ukrainian girl who developed a routine of waving to him, which became a cherished part of his day. "That became the reason I would go to bed early at night, just so I could get up and wave to her," Ross recalled fondly. Ross also highlighted the importance of the role crossing guards play in the safety and well-being of students and the broader community, seeing himself as a calming influence for both pedestrians and drivers. Ross's role goes beyond safety to include being a friendly and welcoming presence for children and families, often assisting with directions or small tasks in the neighborhood. Reflecting on the significance of his work, Ross noted that the simple act of helping students cross the street safely is a foundation for their learning and growth. "Kids can't learn anything in school if they don't first learn how to cross the street to get there," he said. His perspective underscores the profound impact small, consistent acts of care and vigilance can have on a community. In addition to his daily duties, Ross also views his role as an opportunity to model kindness and patience for the children and parents he interacts with. "It's about more than just safety," he said. "It's about showing people what it means to be present and engaged in the community." His efforts remind everyone that even seemingly small roles can create ripples of positive change. Ross's recognition highlights the vital role crossing guards play in our communities, ensuring the safety and well-being of students daily as they travel to and from school. His selflessness and dedication serve as an inspiration to us all. As Ross humbly remarked, "The job itself is its own reward, and I am forever grateful for it." Thinking of becoming a crossing guard yourself? Check out the crossing guard job description on the City of Kingston website and apply online. At the last Environment, Infrastructure, and Transportation Committee meeting, members unanimously approved additional efforts to prevent, remove, and report graffiti. The report and recommendation for further action presented to the committee came from the City's Commissioner of Infrastructure, Transportation, and Emergency Services, Brad Joyce. It is estimated that the city deals with over 750 vandalism graffiti incidents annually, at a cost of approximately $250,000. Some of the most frequently targeted areas singled out in the report include the downtown core, Shannon Park, Victoria Park, Lyon Civic Gardens, Waving Crossing, and bus shelters. While a touch of spray paint may just seem like an eyesore at most, Commissioner Joyce claims vandalism can have a significant negative impact on the city's image, make public spaces feel less safe, and destroy public amenities. This concern is heightened when it comes to what the city has classified as hate graffiti, referring to symbols, images, or texts that promote hate, discrimination, and violence. The report also states that these crimes, which fall under the large umbrella of mischief offenses, go largely unreported with little, if any, consequence to offenders. At the committee meeting reviewing the report, Williamsville Councillor Vincent Chinnani spoke to the issue of graffiti in his district, especially concerning business owners.
That's one of the big complaints I get is graffiti, especially during the summer, not so much during winter, but because a lot of the building, some city buildings, but a lot of public businesses have been, you know, coming up to me and expressing that there's graffiti problems. And even I once caught somebody graffitiing the sidewalks all the way down. But something needs to be done.
While the city currently takes action like using anti-graffiti coating on surfaces and trying to remove graffiti within 24 hours after being reported, the report points out the missing piece is education and awareness. Karen Santucci, Director of Public Works and Solid Waste, spoke to this and how the city plans to fill the gap before the committee.
The one element we're really missing is education, right? Like there's little bits and pieces on our website that say what to do if there's graffiti, who do you call, what department is it, how do I remove it? We're sort of missing that element, and that element will allow residents to be able to identify graffiti more quickly, get it into the city in a manner that we're able to deal with that. If it's on private property, give them some information on, do I need to get a hold of police? Do I need to get a hold of bylaw? And how do I remove that? So I think it will add elements that we don't have from the public's use and also from internal city staff in terms of how do I make sure that all of these pieces that we have are in one place that everyone can see what our graffiti program is in totality, and that can then be used by everyone and not just in bits and pieces.
The recommendation given by Joyce was to develop a communications plan to provide important graffiti management information to residents regarding prevention, reporting, and removal techniques. This would also include information about ways to deal with hate graffiti, available street art programs, and organizing community cleanup programs. One of the first moves will be creating a webpage for the specific topic. Communications-based anti-graffiti measures will be ready for rollout in mid-2025, providing more information and resources for residents. Residents may see a more colorful Kingston in the coming years as the city embarks on a 3-year pilot project to support mural creation in 2025. A report by Jennifer Campbell, the city's Commissioner of Community Services, presented to the Arts, Recreation, and Community Policies Committee, provided an overview as public art policy has changed and developed over the years. Campbell reported ever-increasing interest in public art and murals since policy was officially put in place in 2014, and even more so since amendments were made in spring 2023 to further reduce barriers for artists and simplify the process of installing murals. The report catalogs 16 pieces throughout the city. The city is taking this initiative to beautify Kingston a step further with a pilot project launching next year. In the coming years, the city aims to position Kingston as a center for, quote, creative placemaking. Through art that enhances public spaces, celebrates the city's identity, and supports local artists. The city's Director of Arts and Culture Services, Danica Lockhead, explains some of the vision behind this project before the committee.
The report speaks to the pilot project, which is really, you know, a reflection and responding to some of the challenges that we heard from artists in the community, from business owners, from property owners, from community groups who are really excited to do and deliver a mural in the community, but really don't have access to specific resources to support things like artist fees, key services, priming walls, you know, purchasing paint, securing the right materials or equipment for installation. And so the pilot project is going to reallocate and dedicate some existing budget that we have in our public art envelope to really support and hopefully, you know, create more incentives for murals to take place going forward.
As Locke had explained, enhanced services and support for artists will be provided through the project. A total of $150,000 will be allocated to cover costs associated with expanding mural support services. Notably, while previous efforts were exclusively targeting private property, this project will also give artists the opportunity to propose murals on public property. This work is also connected to the city's latest initiatives tackling graffiti, providing more opportunities for creative expression and covering blank surfaces, which have a high risk of being tagged with art. The pilot project will be moving forward in 2025 with unanimous support from the committee. Lockhead had the following closing remarks.
I think if we see larger scale mural projects, there's going to be, you know, a clear demonstration of the benefit of these murals, both in the public realm, but also to the potential business or wherever the mural goes. I think there will be a larger interests and having these murals in place.
Change is often the hallmark of a new calendar year. For Kingston Transit, the new year will bring enhanced service and more frequent trips beginning Monday, January 6, 2025. New early morning and late night trips to employment areas will offer more convenient options for commuters to get to and from work. Transit customers can also take advantage of more trips during busy times, including more routes with 15-minute or better service, to more easily get to where they need to go. Christopher Norris, General Manager of Kingston Transit, states, quote, "We're building on the updates made in September to ensure our system is frequent, accessible, reliable, and available for customers to easily travel. Enhancing our network frequency and responding to the changing travel needs of our customers is an essential part of our work," end quote. Customers can explore the new schedules and maps at kingstontransit.ca by clicking an individual route and selecting the January 6th button. You can stay connected to Kingston Transit through the Transit app on Android or iPhone. That wraps up your headlines for this evening.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, January 1st, 2025, daytime high of 3 degrees, but a 60% chance of precipitation rain showers with some flurries mixed in there. Thursday, January 2nd, daytime high of 0 degrees with a 40% chance of flurries. Friday, January 3rd, we are going to see a daytime high of minus 4 dropping down to minus 8 overnight. Saturday, January 4th is going to be the coldest day of 2025 thus far, with a daytime high of minus 7 dropping to minus 11 overnight. Sunday, January 5th, we're going to see a daytime high of minus 5 with an overnight low of minus 7. And then Monday, January 6th, 2025, daytime high of minus 3, overnight low of minus 9.
This is Jesse Bell with CFRC's weekly traffic report for the Kingston area. Princess to 486 Albert Street is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction and staging at 484 Albert Street. King Street, tragically hip way to Place d'Armes, is closed January 4th, 6 p.m. to January 6th, 4 a.m. for event-related parking and storage at Slush Puppy Place. Market Street, Kingdo, Ontario, is closed from January 4th, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. for the Mater's New Year's celebration. University Avenue, Union to Stewart, is closed December 27th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for a crane to remove an HVAC unit. Some other delays to be aware of. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles slash Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water mains for Utility Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road, Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard at Elmwood, expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including the replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
This is your event calendar for the week. If you have an event you would like covered, feel free to reach out via cfrc.ca. On December 30th, Coffee and Connection, Mental Health Support from 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. A safe place to relax, connect, and create. Event located at 552 Princess Street every Monday. Also on December 30th is the Fast Food Cooking Group from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Participants create quick recipes using few ingredients, which are healthy and nourishing. Registration required. To register, email Kate, K-A-T-E-E, at kchc.ca. On December 30th, the West End Run Club, Loggers and Joggers, 5:25 p.m. till 7 p.m., will be running. This event will be taking place at the Fine Balance Brewing Company, Join Runner's Choice for their free weekly run groups. All ages and paces are welcome. If you're a new runner, call Runner's Choice at 613-542-2410. Groups are canceled in unsafe weather conditions. Dress accordingly for current weather conditions and wear something reflective. December 31st at 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. is the Kingston Public Market. It's the oldest market in Ontario and has been providing food and a sense of community to residents of Kingston since 1801. The market is located in Kingston's historic downtown, right behind City Hall. December 31st, Spearhead Brewing Weekly Board Game Night from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Head over to Spearhead Brewing, 675 Development Drive, for an unbeatable night of board games, delicious tacos, and craft beer. From December 31st, live country music at The Buckle from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Courtney Kane will be performing on stage from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. January 1st is the Fresh Food Market pop-up from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Fresh Food Market pop-up is here to help keep your belly full without emptying your wallet. We're bringing fresh, affordable produce and chef-created gourmet healthy options to Kingston and the surrounding areas every week. This event will take place at Rideau Heights Community Center. Visit freshfoodmarket.ca for more info. January 1st, also, Frank Ryan will be performing live at Musiki Cafe from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. On January 2nd, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's the oldest market in Ontario and has been providing food and a sense of community to residents of Kingston since 1801. The market is located in Kingston's historic downtown, right behind City Hall. On January 2nd, Royal Jam Open Mic Night takes place every Thursday night starting at 9 p.m. and ending at 11:55 p.m. at the Blue Martini. On January 3rd is the Fresh Food Market pop-up from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Also on January 3rd, Christopher Jackson live at Blue Martini from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. This event includes free cover with upbeat rock and old country songs by Christopher Jackson and his band every Friday night. Pay what you can to the musicians. On January 3rd, country karaoke at The Buckle from 9 p.m. to midnight. January 4th is live music for all ages, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Musiki Cafe hosts live music every night from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. The lineup changes weekly. Follow Musiki Cafe on Instagram to see who's performing this week. January 5th is the Memorial Center Farmers Market, open from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Many local farmers are represented here, as well as soap and candle makers and top small-scale designers. You can also find fresh, locally prepared food and dine at our food court. Whatever your local needs, the Memorial Center's Farmers Market is always here to help you. On January 5th, Afternoons with Savannah from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., come join Savannah Shea at Musiki Cafe. She is a Kingston-based singer, writer, and multi-instrumentalist, with her songs being focused on contemplation, love, the miracle of Mother Nature, and the internal conflicts of being human. On January 5th, Christmas Party for Singles Over 30, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Dinner is still being decided on this event, but it will start at 6 p.m., followed by a trip to Splitsville for some bowling. Email Sarah Witwick at gmail.com for more details. That's Sarah, W-I-T-I-U-K, at gmail.com. January 5th, there's a concert at the Grand Theatre, News of the World by Queen Live. This is an authentic recreation of the actual Queen album. Note for note, cut for cut, then a brief intermission followed by a greatest hit set. Buy tickets now at the Kingston Grand Theatre website. And that concludes the event for this week. If you have an event you would like covered, feel free to reach out via cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.